And we're back. This is the Dynamics Duo back in Studio Monaco in Building 20. And we've been talking about this wide world importers demo that we put together. We went through the demo, we talked about authentication, we talked about some simple web services stuff. Today we're going to look at some, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to talk about web services, we're also going to throw in some Silverlight, and we're going to throw in a third party service that's out in the cloud and how you use that to compose different kinds of experiences for end users. What do you think, Girish? Can you show us that?
Sounds like a good plan. Yep.
So when we looked at this earlier, we saw the website. So here we saw the contact page, the profile page. We saw the conference page. This looks pretty similar, but you were telling me earlier this is actually a Silverlight page, right?
Yes. Now, how do you click on that, it's going to tell me that it's a Silverlight control right here.
Right. So just for data entry, the Silverlight control is not really, doesn't really add a whole lot more than just pure ASP.NET.
Or HTML.
Right. So let's show the end users, our audience here, what's going on. So if you click on search for flights, what's going on there? So that was pretty quick because it's all cached.
Yes.
So what happened there?
So what it did was it sent in the information about the dates, the airports, and all of that to this third-party web service run by a company called ECGTS. And once it sent all of this information, it got back a bunch of result sets, the result set being all of the different flight itineraries with the price and all of the details about that specific set of information.
This is still a Silverlight control here, right?
That's what
that Silverlight is probably a lot easier to build this list in Silverlight than it would have been. Well, who knows? I mean, I guess some really crack ASP.NET developer probably could have done this in ASP.NET. But some of this design is probably a lot easier to do in Expression and Blend and all of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because in this case, because this was a Silverlight control, we used Expression Blend to design this user interface. So, you know, I can visually build this user interface, or if I want to switch to the XAML or the XML markup language for the user interface, I can manually tweak these if I want to. And then it's still the same project that we used. And, you know,
so that XAML page there, that's the flight search control. Where's the result control?
The results control, it's going to dynamically load up. I don't have my project here.
But so it's going to dynamically create it on the fly.
Yes.
Pull in the XAML, put it on top of that search controller.
Exactly. And because it's just that one little box that you'll see in the design, which will be repeated over how many number of results that you have.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty clever. So let's go back to the expression design. So here's where you, as a developer, I guess, now you would be handing over the design of this to a designer rather than the developer. You tell the developer, sorry, the designer, here's the information you're going to get, here's the results you're going to get, go and make it pretty. There's jazz hands, make it pretty. So what does the designer do? They pull this into Expression Blend.
Yeah, and they use the same project that we used in Visual Studio. So they use the same set of files.
So the project that you're looking at here on the right-hand side, that's the identical project?
That's the same.
It's not
file.
A copy or anything. It's the exact same Visual Studio solution that you're pulling into Expression Blend.
That is correct.
So as a designer, I am in Expression Blend. I never have to go to Visual Studio. I never have to export or any of that stuff. All of the stuff that I do, the XAML files that I'm building, I just save them directly into the Visual Studio solution.
That's right.
And the developers see it all along.
Yeah, so all the developer has to do is, you know, they can, you know, wire up the click of the button and then write their application logic to do the actual flight search and all of the good stuff with the services.
So that means that all of the goodness that I get from Visual Studio, things like team foundation, check-in, and all of that project management, all of the stuff that I get with Visual Studio, I automatically get that for my designers with Blend.
Absolutely. So the next version of Blend supports the team foundation server or the source control integration, so it doesn't matter which tool I use, I'm still working on the same copy of the project.
That's pretty slick. Okay, that's pretty slick. So if I'm looking at this in Expression Blend, can I look at this from within Visual Studio as well?
Absolutely. So if I make a change there, it's going to automatically say, this file has been changed. Do you want to reload so I get the latest and greatest that I want to work on?
So this is a config file.
So the reason I brought up the config file was there was this third-party web services called ECGDS that we use. So here's the web services URL that I use to call in that flight search. So it's going to bring all of the information about the flights.
So let's look at that again.
Sure.
So that's just it's just an Azimex
web service endpoint.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I pull that in. So mm-hmm. I have a reference to that in my project, mm-hmm. and I'm sending that information. Now, again, from the end user point, they don't even know where that's going unless we actually do show it in the site
interface.
You're saying, you know, retrieving the best deals from EasyGDS. Mm-hmm. But if we didn't show people that, they wouldn't
know.
And they shouldn't know. They shouldn't care, right? I mean, mm-hmm. all the end user, all the attendee cares about is that they're getting the best deal for their flight dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I want to do different providers, so all I have to do is just swap out the web services. And if the object model is similar, I get the same set of results back. So
Right. So I'm going to EasyGDS, but EasyGDS behind the scenes is then going to Sabre and WorldSpan and all sorts of other web deals, mm-hmm. and they're sort of doing the aggregation for you. Mm-hmm. We're using them as a sort of convenience service to find flight deals.
Exactly.
And then to do the booking of the flight deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we're not actually doing the booking here because it's mm-hmm. just a demo, but in reality, we could mm-hmm. go to EasyGDS and do the booking.
Absolutely. So I don't have to know anything about the flights. I don't have to know anything about booking them. I just call the web services and get the job done.
I don't even need to know anything about the travel industry for that matter, right? I
mean, exactly.
All I need to know is I'm feeding this information, getting the information from EasyGDS, feeding the booking. Mm-hmm. The end user then pays for the flight. Mm-hmm. And I think EasyGDS has some sort of affiliate program where the conference organizer would then get sort of a cut of that deal, mm-hmm. Which is a pretty good thing.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I think a lot of people call composition, right? So you're actually composing for the end user. You're pulling information from CRM in. You're pulling information from CRM and EasyGDS. Mm-hmm. You also have Live ID, I guess. Mm-hmm. And from the end user perspective, all they're seeing is one site, and they don't care. All they know is they're getting the best deal.
Exactly.
And they're getting their registration information. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we saw the XAML. Let's see how you actually fire that web service call.
Sure. So there's a few things. Again, we go over the regular rules about checking to see if the user is authenticated, and uh-huh. if they're already authenticated, bring up the contact information. And because you already know the place that the person is going to come from, and you know where the conference location is, so you're going to automatically pre-populate some of the fields. So you're going to pre-populate the nearest airport that mm-hmm. somebody's at. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to pre-populate where the destination city, which is obviously the city closer to the conference location. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, you also know when the conference is going to start and when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. So you might add something like, you know, I want to arrive on the day before the conference and you know, have good time at the conference, have the party at the last night, and then you know, leave the day after.
So you could change if you yes. decide, hey, it's going to L.A., I may want to spend the weekend before in L.A. and mm-hmm. go to whatever, do some side trips or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can change that.
Yep.
And once you're ready, you hit the search, mm-hmm. and then it sends all that information to EasyGDS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So again, it's going to, you know, it's going to load up all of these parameters, and then what it's going to do, you know, what you can see is that it's going to do all of the searching mm-hmm. and then bring all of that information back. And mm-hmm. there's also services to search for airports. So when you specify a city like Seattle or Redmond, it's going to go and search for all of those airports nearby.
Oh,
and
I see.
Let me choose the airport that I want to.
Right. So if I typed San Francisco, mm-hmm. it would then come back with the airport code would be SFO. Mm-hmm. If I search for Seattle, it would come back with SEA, because mm-hmm. that's what you normally use. You use airport codes mm-hmm. For this web for the EasyGDS call.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
So once you get that,
mm-hmm. and once I get that, you know, I make all of my selections, and once I make my final selection, we have a little utility class that's going to actually do the booking.
Uh-huh.
So in this case, if I go to the definition of this, sorry. So it's going to say, you know, if the person already had a flight booking deal, so which means they're modifying their flight, so it's going to delete the older one. It's going to create this new booking. It's going to give it a price.
Now normally, you wouldn't just go and delete the flight.
Of course. Of course, there's a ton of things that happens behind the scenes.
Paid for the flight, you booked it, but let's just delete it.
Yeah.
So obviously, this is just demo code.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so for a demo, no big deal if we delete because we're not actually paying for the flights.
Yeah, of course.
And we're not actually booking the seats on the flights and so on.
Yeah, it's, that would be an expensive demo.
Yeah, so. No kidding. Okay, so you're just kind of flushing out that data.
Yes.
And so what are you doing after that?
And then finally, flight booking is actually stored in my CRM system. So once I make the booking, it's going to save all of the information, details.
So you're newing up a new flight booking object mm-hmm. here, passing it the contact information, mm-hmm. and then pulling up. So is this is after you've selected? No, you haven't actually selected a flight yet.
Yeah, but that's just a click of a button. So we wired it up to say that once the button is being clicked, it's going to reload the page, which is going to automatically fire this call.
So there's
this little thing called East Post Pack. So when the page is loaded, so this is the first time when the page gets loaded up, and when you click a button, the page gets loaded up again,
okay.
and it's going to do the flight booking for you.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. So mm-hmm. and then how do I then save that back to CRM, or is that what you're doing here?
That's exactly what you're doing here.
Oh, I see. I get it. So you're going. Let's see. So the process is you go, figure out the airport code. You set the airport code in. You hit search for flights. Mm-hmm. Once you select a flight, you do mm-hmm. that post back, and that then triggers
this book flight method.
Got it.
Which is going to save all of this information in my CRM system with all the flight segments and everything related to that.
So this one's a little different because actually when you do a flight booking, like mm-hmm. you said, there's segments to a flight. So mm-hmm. even if I'm doing one booking, I'm going, let's say, from Seattle to LA, there's no interim. There's going to be one flight from Seattle to LA. But if I'm going from Regina, Saskatchewan to LA, there's probably no direct flight. So you will probably go through, you might have two or three segments.
Yep. If you get lucky.
So you have an outbound to LA, you might have two or three segments, and then inbound from LA, mm-hmm. you would have two or three segments. So how do you do that in CRM? So now I'm no longer posting just, like for contact, I post one record mm-hmm. or one entity. Mm-hmm. or one instance of that entity back into the CRM database. Mm-hmm. How does that work with flight segments?
So the way it works in CRM is you set up different entities. So in this case, I have an entity for my flight, and I have an entity for my flight segment, and I have a one-to-many relationship between my flight and flight segment. So obviously, a flight can have more than one segment. So in this case, I'm going to first create the flight booking, and then I'm going to loop through the different segments that I have in the flight. And then
so,
I'm going to create
so let's
a record.
Have a, can we actually pull up CRM online and look at the data there?
Sure, absolutely. So in this case, let's pull up Kirish Raja's record. And there's my flight booking record, which is this record right here.
So you have a booking that has your flight. So let's open that.
Okay.
So that's got your ticket number there, and it's probably got how much you paid, what the price would be if we had actually purchased that ticket. Mm-hmm. And then you have an outbound flight.
Which is, again, a flight segment. So this is where...
Let's have a look at that. So if you open that outbound flight...
So it's going to tell you, here's the airline that this is filing in. Here's the date, here's the time.
So if you go back there, let's actually book a flight that has multiple segments. Let's do that Regina or Saskatchewan or can we do that?
Absolutely. So let's go back to the conference website. So I'm going to do a revision of my flight search, if I could remember.
Let's do, I know Montreal, YUL.
YUL.
To LA.
LA.
Okay.
If you get a direct flight.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of different choices, right? So we're going to choose the one that has got the most number of segments.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we're going to get more frequent flyer miles this
way.
So here's one that's got multiple segments.
So you're going to find Cleveland and LA. So let's just choose that.
Okay. So going from Montreal. Okay, so now if we go back to Dynamics and open up that, I guess we need to refresh here.
Yeah, well, let me quickly refresh this and make sure this is the right one I'm opening. So here's the flight, and so I think it's actually the other one. So let me open up this one.
Okay.
There you go, $522, okay. And then on my outbound flight, I'm going from, going from Montreal to Cleveland and Cleveland to LA, uh-huh. and on my return, I have a similar
So you have multiple segments. So you have this is your one-to-many relationship that you built.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So if we go back and look at the code for saving those segments, mm-hmm. how does that do that? How does it? So I see. So for each segment, so you've got mm-hmm. It's basically a for loop.
Yep. Okay. So you're looping through each of the segment uh-huh. and creating a CRM segment, and then saving all of those information about that flight segment.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
It is.
It's too simple.
Yeah, even I could do this.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I know I couldn't. All right. So we've gone through most of that flight, that registration piece. There's mm-hmm. lots of other things like hotels and cars, and that confirmation page. Those are pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. The last piece of the demo, I guess, is the attendee portal.
Yep.
Why don't we save that one? Yeah. We save that one. That's the kind of the coolest one because it's got all really the animation and the jazz hands. So it's got that animation of the portal minimizing of modules and all that stuff. So why don't we save that one for the last segment, mm-hmm. and we'll come back tomorrow's segment. We'll talk about how we built that attendee portal and took advantage of some pre-existing code off of CodePlex to build an attendee portal that actually is pretty compelling and actually will encourage conference attendees to return to the site and come and look at information over and over again. So we'll be back tomorrow. Join us.